Greetings, brothers and sisters out there. This is Remi Engsvik from far up in the north. And I had the privilege to say something this week. And I hope it can be help and benefit. This topic, I was thinking about choices and consequences. I want to start with that today. We can just pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you will bless your word and every heart and mind that listens, and that it could be a help and encouragement and something we can ponder about, because we need your guidance every step of the way. So I pray that you help my mind, that everything that can be said can be understood. You lay it in your hands. Amen. Now, about choices. We make a lot of choices every day. I read somewhere that we make around 30,000 choices every day that you don't even think about, but you know, which foot to put first out of bed is one choice, just for an example. But life is about making choices, and they have all consequences, small ones, big ones. As you can maybe hear, I have a cold. And that can be choices that I made that ended up for me having a cold. So that's a consequence. What I want to talk about here is where you see in the Bible people making choices. And for an example for us, you see it's you have good consequences and you have bad consequences, and it's that's what life is about. And if you see, to start with Peter, yeah, Jesus prayed for Peter in Luke 22, that he said that Satan had desired to have you, that he may shift you as wheat, but I prayed for thee that thy faith failed not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's in verse 31 and 32 in Luke 22. Jesus here, he didn't want the trial to leave him, but he prayed that it didn't fail, that this trial should do something with him, because he had a plan for him. But what Peter did, it had a consequence. And that really led Peter, his trial led him to a deeper relationship with Jesus. So when, I want to say that also, when choices we do have bad consequences, let it be so you can come closer to God. See, God has a scale, and everything is measured up for you, because you won't have any greater trials than you can bear. That's a promise. And as we know, we read in the book of Job, you see there Satan, he was asking, he had to have a permission from God to test Job. And when you think about that, he can't touch you without God letting him. So that's a safety for us, and you can have peace in that. God is in full control, and Satan, he's really just a tool to get the best out of us, even if it can be hard when we're in the middle of it. Really, what is my main thought today here is that it's really an opportunity for us, each one of us. If you go back to Genesis 3, it's where it all really started. Man was living in harmony and peace with God, and then they made choices. And the circumstances we are living under now is much because, what others' choices have been living before us. And if we go to Genesis 3, it can start at 15, you have there the consequences that came after the choices they made. From verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So here you see what the life will is about from then until the end of the days. 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat for it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it where you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So here you see the consequences of the fall of man. But God has a plan, and he is in control. Man was driven out from God's paradise and the presence, and they can search for God. There's a way, but now the circumstances was really changed, and there's been a constant pressure from this ruler of this world since then, and he will continue to seduce and pull people away from God's way. And we can read in the Old Testament the challenges and what mankind had to live under. But there was a promise, and Jesus Christ, he was going to come and break the curse and put up a new covenant. We can go to John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. This is said to show what kind of death he was going to die. So he breaks the curse. He opened the access to the kingdom of God and the tree of life. And Satan, he cannot claim us if we remain in him, like we started here. Satan, he was demanding to see Peter as wheat. But if you stay in Christ, there's no curse for those who live in the spirits of Christ. In the Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So here we can read the choices in obedience bless the descendants, but in the form of a blessing, and it's a spiritual one. And you know, if you see the consequences of Israel, the spiritual leaders, they chose to kill and crucify Jesus. They said, let his blood be on our head. And the choices led them into blindness and judgments. But for us, you can see, because they were blinded, partly blinded by God, as it is written, the book of the Jews and the gospel was spread throughout the world. So it's really the consequences there. You see how perfect God is. It's his way to spread out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you can see, you can go back, we read here about Abraham in Galatians 14. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if you see, go back to Abraham, there was a promise to him. The angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven and said, I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son. This is when he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. And he said he will bless him and multiply his descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. You see, Abraham made a choice, a hard choice, but there you can see how he broke really the curse. If you go back to where he was called from, he was living in Ur, in Chaldea, was worshiping idols, you know, and God called him out, and he made a choice and started to walk in God's promise. And in this way, he breaks the curse for his day and hour, and that will be a blessing for his descendants and for us. And I'll take an example from David here also, how the descendants are benefiting of the choice made, a good choice, and they become like beacons. If you go to 1 Kings 11, it's about Solomon, the son of David. 1 Kings 11. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenants and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servants. Here, Solomon, he is starting to worship idols and does not follow the Lord anymore. But in verse 12 here, you see, nevertheless, I will not do it in your days. For the sake of your father David, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. So you see, because of David, there's a blessing on descendants and the children, because of the life of David and his attitude. You know, he was a man after God's heart, and there was a promise there. And if you read the story of David also, you see he did a great sin with Bathsheba. He took Uriah's wife. And, you know, there was a consequences for that also. So despite that there was a promise and God has chosen him, know, Christ is going to sit on David's throne. And the lineage there, there's a blessing. But even he did sin greatly, and he had to pay for that. That was a consequence also in his household. Nathan the prophet said, the sword is not going to leave your house, and you have Absalom and Amnon, and he had to pay for what he did. But still, God is true to his promise, and you see even his children, the descendants, are blessed because of his life and choices. And when you see Israel standing, going into the promised land also, Moses is telling them about the consequences of their life. They call it the great blessing and curse passage. It is in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And he's the first part of the chapter is about the blessing upon the people, the land, and everything, if they follow the Lord. But then you have the curses if they don't listen, and what follows: disobedience, sickness, defeat, poverty, and everything. And you can read what happened after that. But in Deuteronomy 30:19, it says that I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. So here, God calls the people to choose life. That is the blessing, which also affects your offspring. Because there's a law in God. If you read in Exodus 20, it's written, you shall not bow down and serve them. That's the other gods. For I, the Lord, your God, I'm jealous. I'm a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to the thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. So this is really the Ten Commandments, but it's how sin and disobedience can affect future generation. But God's mercy reaches much further than judgment. He's merciful. And if you read Ezekiel also in chapter 18, you can read here, what do you mean, in the second verse, what do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, that you're reaping for what your fathers really have done. But when you read in chapter 18:20 here, it says, the soul that sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor shall the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness and the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So what my thought is, you can break the curse, because you live under circumstances because of what people before you, what your fathers or people before you did. So I think that's your challenge, and you can think it's not fair. I'm living under circumstances because of what people have done before me. But really, that's really the story of the whole mankind. We live under these circumstances because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus came to break the curse. And in this way, I see you have to see yourself standing also. I have these challenges, and you can look around and see others are living in different. Some seems to have a better life. But I believe that God has put a balance in your life to do the best. It's your challenge to break the curse or to be grateful for what people have done before you that brought blessings to you. So there's a great responsibility there also to live in gratefulness. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, even though the consequences of sin can affect generations, the curse can be broken in Christ and a new line of blessing. You can start a new line of blessing. There's a story about two brothers. One brother was an alcoholic, and the other, he had a successful life. He was blessed, had a family and his own company. The other was living on the streets. And they got the same questions. They were asked the same question. What's the reason behind your state of life? And they had the same answer. And the answer was, my father was an alcoholic. So here you can see how the same circumstance can be handled in different ways and how it can bring another consequence, really. And the Lord, he looks at the individual life, and if you read about the Moabite people in the Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, "An Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even not to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever." That sounds really, they are not allowed here. But then you have the story of Ruth. She's a Moabite. And you see her life story. And he's not only just a Moabite, but she comes straight into the lineage to Jesus Christ. But when you see what she did, she broke off from her country, the adultery, and you know, the land in Moab, and she followed her mother-in-law back to Israel. She said, "Where you go, I will go." And in that way, she broke the curse. And that's our challenge for today. Amen.